that the palms of our hands are tingling. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As we enter your word, we humble ourselves afresh. This same tangible anointing, anoint me afresh, so I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I also pray, you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who are hearing me remotely, or will hear me remotely electronically. So your word will flow freely from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to become more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray, as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back and follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision. Yes, to redeem the time. And say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in that time of prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. This afternoon I'm going to continue my teaching on the works of faith with power. Last week we saw from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11, Paul was praying, it was one of these apostolic prayers, the very important prayers we need to be praying for ourselves on a daily basis, that God would vouchsafe, count them worthy, it's not automatic, of the high calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And I zeroed in on that expression, the work of faith with power, because in the book of James, the Bible says, faith without works is dead. They are works of faith. It's not works of the flesh. They are works of faith, and they are done with the power of God. The power of God is a derivative from the life of God. The Greek word for life is the word zoe. The Greek word for power is the word dunamis. That's where we get the English word dynamite. And power from, you know, dynamite power. So what actually happens, we're going to see this before I close, you know, is that the life of God comes into your inner core, the inner core of your spirit, what the Bible calls your innermost being. Then it's pumped, just like your physical heart pumps blood. It's pumped from there into the outer core and the rest of the inner man, where it is converted and distributed and stored as power. It is that power that you should use to do the work of faith. The works of faith are, number one, confession. You have to speak God's word. You know, the Lord Jesus taught us through Kenneth Hagin, who made it very popular in our generation, Mark 11, 23, 24, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not, 11, 23, stay on 23 for now, you know, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I remember Ken Hagin teaching us on this, and he said, can you see that he said, say three times, and believing only once. It's very significant. Very, very significant. The more you say, because you see, when you say, you are releasing power. That power will enlighten your understanding and cause you to see the invisible more than you will believe more. If you don't say, if you don't keep saying and thinking on God's word, you will not believe. To believe is to see the invisible. We looked at that last week. The reason why many Christians don't believe is because there is not sufficient light in their mind. We looked at this in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. The Bible speaks about, you know, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light is in the life. The light is actually a part of, is actually power. It's just power of light. You know, somebody was saying to me recently, and not too recently, one of my classmates, who is now a professor, used to be head of department of physics, you know, he's a professor. So I gave a talk about a year ago or so. So he said, Olubi, how is it that, you know, being a pastor, you still study physics and you still have interest in physics? I said, well, the truth about the matter is that, you know, physics is a study of physical energy. And you've got physical energy in different levels. You've got mechanical energy, you've got sound, you've got light, you've got electricity, you've got magnetism, you've got nuclear, you know, energy. They're all energy, but different kinds of energy, you know. Money spiritually is the same, you know, it's exactly the same thing. You know, the Bible is the study of not just energy, you know, in abstract, but the study of God, who is a person, who is a spirit, and then his different forms of power. He has healing power. He has power for deliverance. There's power for prosperity, power to get wealth. There's power for wisdom. You know, it's all power, just like it is in the physical. I said, that's my fascination with physics, because physics is actually the study of energy at the physical level, whereas Christianity is actually the study of God, firstly as a person, and then secondly of his spiritual power, of spiritual energy. And when you understand that, you know, a lot of things become very, very clear to you. So to believe, the more light you have in your mind, the more you believe. The less light, the less you believe. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the entrance of his word gives light. So that's why you don't hear just once. You keep saying it, light keeps coming into your mind, and you begin to see it. You begin to see in the spirit, you know, in your mind. The Bible tells us how to do this. He said, seeing him that is invisible. Now, I didn't say this last time, but I want to put a caution here. You know, we're not talking about trying to get a vision. I'm not talking about having a vision of, you know, because you see, like I said during the Bible study, those are by the gifts of the Spirit. There's a gift of the Spirit which is called discernings of spirits. It's both in plural. We learned that from Derek Prince. And so discerning of spirits is the ability to see or hear in the realm of the Spirit, where you actually see a three-dimensional vision, you know, like a television, but it's in three dimensions of Jesus or an angel or some other spirit in the realm of the spirit. It's possible that that does happen. That's not what I'm talking about. Because the Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. I'm not talking about seeing visions. You can see visions, and that is as the Spirit wills. You know, he can give you a vision occasionally, you know. And I underline that word occasionally. We're not supposed to live by seeing visions every day. Then you're no longer living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? It's to live seeing the invisible. In other words, what God has, the reality of what God has said in his word now shines into your mind by the light of the life of God. You know, the power of the light of God. And in your mind is real. So the Bible says Moses saw him, endured as seeing him that is invisible. He couldn't see him physically, but in his mind he could see him. And that's what the Bible means when it says we should believe. To believe is to see in your mind by the light of life, the spiritual reality of what you're saying, even though you're not seeing it physically, you're not seeing a picture, it's not a vision per se, it's an enlightenment, is a revelation. That's actually the best word for it. That's why Paul prayed that God will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You cannot walk in faith without revelation. I like one of Kenneth David Ingalls' songs. We sung it recently. I'm taking it back. He said, "The just shall live by faith and revelation." That's really what it is. True faith is revelation. It's If you don't have revelation, you don't have faith. And revelation comes by light shining to your mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Very quickly. Thank you, honey. Only my wife is on my side, but that's okay. Me, my wife, and Jesus, we're a majority. You are all, the rest of you can be on the other side. Don't go on the other side. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. This is the textbook definition of revelation knowledge. You know, I came to this understanding many years ago. I must give credit and honor to whom honor is due. The first person I heard preach and teach this was Kenneth Copeland. Let's give Brother Copeland a super clap offering. He taught it at that camp meeting in 1980. Kenneth Higgins camp meeting. You know, and he taught these things, you know. Then it was after he taught, I meditated on it, then I said, this is what revelation knowledge is. For God, I didn't hear you, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined. Everybody say, where? In our hearts. Not your spiritual, your mind. It's part of your inner man, you know, but up here in your mind. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ. I don't want to go into the face of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. That's not my message for today. But the important point there is that God will shine into your mind to give you knowledge. Now, in that specific context, he's talking about the knowledge of the glory of God. But this knowledge in every area, with the light shining in your mind, gives you knowledge of prosperity. It gives you knowledge of healing. It gives you knowledge of deliverance. It gives you knowledge of wisdom, knowledge of witty inventions. It all comes from God. And so we need to. So the work of faith is believing, then confessing, you know, then praying in the Spirit. All of these works are not works of the flesh. They are works of the Spirit. And that is why you have to do it them with dunamis. All these works, they're not done. You can't do it in the flesh. It has to be done by the life of God that is then converted to power in your inner man, you know, and then it is by the power that is in the inner man you now do these works. And this particular work of praying in the Spirit is crucial to the operation of faith. When I first got born again and listened to Kenneth Hagin and all these great men, you know, they taught praying in the Spirit and they emphasized it, but they didn't connect it, you know, as much to faith. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching us from Jude. He said, building up yourself on your most holy faith. He said, when you pray a lot in tongues, it will help your faith. He said that. But I've come to see that, you see, after the operation of faith is in steps. You first of all believe through the word of God. You read the word of God. Light comes to your mind. You believe. Then you now begin to say it. But saying is not enough, because there are evil spirits in the heavenlies that want to contend for your words. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10, Gabriel comes to Daniel and said, a man greatly beloved. He said, watch this. Let's go there. I have to go there. I didn't want to go there, but I quickly need to go there. But I won't be long there. 10, I believe it's verse... He said, I am come for thy words. That's the one I want to say. You know, let me see. Daniel, or is it chapter 9? He said, I ate no pleasant bread. You know, then a certain man, his body like beryl, and I was alone in the vision. This, he had a vision. What? 10:12. Thank you. Exactly. He said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Watch this. Thy words, confession. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Another translation says, I am come because of thy words. So, while confession is critical, it's not sufficient. The fasting and praying was where God generated power through Daniel's spirit or through Daniel's prayers to overcome. You read that in the rest of the story. Let's go back to Second Thessalonians, you know, he now says that, you know, from the very first day, he said, I was saying, but an evil spirit, the prince of Persia, withstood me. So even though the confession was there, the confession alone couldn't get through. So it was the fasting. That's where praying in tongues comes in. That's a connection but the grace of God, which was me, I made, you know, that was not as much emphasized by our faith teachers. They did mention it, you know. But you see, in the operation of faith, it's not enough just to speak in tongues. You need to pray in the Spirit. Many times you need to add fasting. Doesn't mean you have to go on a long 21-day fast. But you should fast as a regular habit on a weekly basis. That, you know, increases your spiritual capacity and the power of God that is inside you, that can operate through you, that will now release power that will energize your angels so they can overcome the princes of Persia, the evil spirits that are trying to hinder your angels from bringing the answer into physical manifestation. So praying in the Spirit is a work of faith, and it has to be done by the power of faith, by the power of God. It's a work. That work of faith has to be done with power. You can't do it in the flesh. We're going to see before I close, you know, we'll use the animation. But look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I just want to emphasize on that, you know, word work. Translation says labor, but it means the same thing. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, I didn't hear you, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always. Everybody scream always. This praying in tongues is not a once in a while thing. Same thing he said in Ephesians. This was a problem. Always, just that's what he did on a daily basis, regularly. You know, always laboring fervently for you. Where? In prayers. He's talking about praying in tongues. Labor is travail. It was travailing for them that Christ be formed in them, you know, that they will grow spiritually. That they may stand in all the, in fact, that's what it says there. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, it takes prayer. You know, and it's labor, it's work. It's work. And it can only be done properly with power. That's why many Christians do not pray fervently, even when they do pray. And they don't pray in sufficiently long in the Spirit to get the true definition of breakthrough. A breakthrough happens when you release power in sufficient measure through groanings and praying in tongues and travail with all kinds of prayer. You release enough power into the air that your angels can now, because the angels have power, they have their own power. But the power that is used in the earth has to be the power generated by the spirits of men. They don't just use, so they will now take the power you generate, you know, to overcome the power of the devil and break through into this realm. That's the true meaning of breakthrough. Of course, it manifests as breakthrough in healing, breakthrough in prosperity, breakthrough in prayer, and all of that. But that's what happens in the realm of the spirit. The angels are able to break through the satanic opposition of the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. But it comes through prayer in the spirit with power, you know. And you see this again in Ephesians chapter 6. I won't turn there, I'll just say it in passing. You know, verse 17 and 18. Very interesting the way Paul writes it. He says, you know, he talked about all the armor of God, which are all defensive. You know, breastplate of righteousness, you know, the shield of faith, you know, the helmet of salvation. All those, you know, is actually the fruit of the Spirit, because the armor of God and God is love, you know. Then he now gives an offensive weapon. He said, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. You know, you look at the connection. You can't pray effectively in the Spirit if you did not take the sword. The sword is the word. The word does two things. It gives you, one, a legal basis for your prayer so that God can answer the prayer, because God cannot do anything outside his word. Then number two, the word is the avenue through which you get the life of God. The Bible says, having these promises, dearly, but let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, perfect and holy in the sight of God. The same promises, he says, God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature.
So that's why you need the sword. The sword does those two things. It gives you a legal basis for your prayer. Then on the other hand, and in addition rather, it also makes available the life of God into your spirit in great measure. It is with that you can now pray in the spirit. So praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit is a consequence of using the sword of the spirit. That connection has not been emphasized. So a lot of people they take these things in isolation. You know, you need to take the sword of the spirit, that Jesus used the sword of the spirit in the temptation, in the wilderness. It is written. It's correct. I'm not knocking that, you know. But there's prayer. They had been fasting for 40 days. Power. Dunamis was there. So when Satan brought the temptation and he said, "Get thee behind me. It is written, thou shalt worship the man shall not live by bread alone." All that was all at the thought level. All those thoughts were backed with power. They weren't just wishful thinking. And then you try and do the same thing, but you don't have the power behind it. That's why prayer is so crucial. Everything is important. Something I discovered about this system, you know. That's why the Bible says the invisible things of God, they're clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. You know, it's a system. God designed it. That's why Paul, even though they didn't have the knowledge of science at that time, but he wrote it in a scientific way. He said, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." It's a law. It's a spiritual law, just like we have physical laws. And to operate a physical law, you have to understand the underlying principles and all the different parts of its operation for it to be effective. Driving a car has many features. I'll just, you know, mention three in this analogy. You know, there's the ignition. The ignition is very important because that's what gives a spark to the petroleum motor spirit. If it's a petroleum car, you know, if it's an electrical car, same thing, you know, starts the generation of electricity through the cell, because we now have electric vehicles, you know. But you need the ignition. If you don't put the ignition on, you don't start the system. But the ignition alone will not drive the car. You need the ignition. Then you also need the gear system. It is the gear system that takes the movement of the pistons, you know, or the torque, you know, that is generated by the electrical batteries to apply to the wheels. Then the wheels will start rolling. Now, if you have an excellent ignition system, but your gear system is not in operation, the car will not move. For electrical vehicles now, because we have electrical vehicles now, if you have the batteries, but you don't charge them, and they've lost charge, the car will not move. For the petrol engine, if you have a perfect engine, but there's no petrol inside the tank, the car will not move. So I need the ignition, I need the fuel, and I need the gear system, and also the steering wheel. That is when everything is operating in harmony, in synergy, that the car moves. So is your prayer life. There's a place for confession. It's like ignition. There's a place for believing. There's a place for praying in the spirit. And then there's a fourth one, which I'm going to talk about now. Corresponding physical actions. I put this at the end because that's where it belongs. See, many people, they try and act in faith, but they're acting presumptuously. Observe, it is the work of faith with power. So even my corresponding actions have to be backed by the power of God. How? My corresponding actions, I wrote it down there, as led by the Spirit, is a consequence. Everybody say it after me. Your corresponding physical actions of faith must be, as led by the Spirit, a consequence of your praying
in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit causes all things to work together for your good. That's a mouthful, but I'll break it down. What it means is this. See, I don't just wake up and say, I gave you my testimony how I did it, some very foolish thing when I was a young Christian. I wanted to go to America. You know, I didn't have a visa. But God had provided the money of the ticket, so I knew God was in the thing. Then I also got some, you know, later on, I got some prophetic words that confirmed what I was doing. But I went to the airport without the visa. I was acting in faith, believing that maybe when I get there, God will just, an angel will appear and they will tell them that this guy is special and let him go. But of course, it didn't happen that way, you know. But it happened, but not that way. Because I was a young Christian, I didn't have understanding. But I went in faith anyway, and God honored that faith, you know. So I the night before a prophetic word came, you know, for me, I was very bold. I was very sure I was going to travel, and I did travel, you know. But, you know, when I got to the airport, they said, Mr. Jones, we can't fly you. You don't have, so they said, go to the American embassy. So I went to the American embassy. I got the visa, you know, and then somebody gave me $1,000 that same day. So the next day, I'd missed my flight. It was a special ticket for students. And once you miss it, that's it, you know. I had to go and meet the supervisor in Heathrow. The man said, don't worry, I'll put you on the flight tomorrow. Came 10 o'clock, he endorsed my ticket, and he took me. Now, all of that could have been avoided if I was more mature. Now, looking back, I now know it still worked. It's just that I didn't connect the dots. Because at that time, I already started praying 1 hour in tongues every day. So all the praying actually worked. God really worked around my system. But I would have avoided going to the airport without a visa. If I was more sensitive to the Spirit, what I would have got from the Holy Ghost is not on that day that I was traveling, maybe the Friday before. If it's today now, that's what I would have done. I would have prayed. And I would first of all go to the American embassy. And I got my visa. Then be trusting God for the money, keep praying tongues. Then somebody would have given me the $1,000, then, which still happened, you know. And then I would have been able to fly on the day I should have flown instead of the next day, which I just got by the mercy and the favor of God. Now, that's what happens when we're immature Christians. We take a lot of presumptuous actions thinking we're acting in faith. I also spoke about this last week. Not taking medicine is not an act of faith. People say, well, if you're believing God, then don't just take your medicine and God will heal you. No. You will die. Many have died. And many will still die. Sadly, I'm not saying that with any happiness in my heart. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying as a statement of fact. Presumptuous Christians are dying every day. What should you do? Pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, God can lead you to the doctor, or he can lead you to the place of the right medication. Then he will add that medication to your faith and speed up your healing process. If God wants, you know, especially now that we're entering this era of the Spirit without measure, the healing will be instant and you will feel it. So it's not presumptuousness. You're not believing. It has now become, you know. Because the healing, let me give example from scripture. I'm going to give two. The lepers, the 10 lepers, they saw Jesus afar off and they said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. When Jesus said that, they were not healed. The leprosy was still there. Then they started walking towards the synagogue to go and show themselves to the priest. The Bible says they were healed as they went. So by the time they got to the priest, the leprosy was gone. So if God heals you supernaturally, instantly, it will be gone. You can go to the doctor. All the doctor will do is to confirm that you are healed. But not to go to the doctor is not faith. It's foolishness. So if you say, oh, I had cancer, you know, God forbid, you know, some other ailment, and, you know, there's a ministration of healing, you know, like where we do after the end of the service, so you stretch forth your hands, I'm healed. Go to the doctor. Let them do the x-ray.
if you are truly healed, you know, if it's been manifest, it will show on the x-ray. So faith and medical science are not opposed. In fact, they are complementary. It's because we didn't have understanding. We used to think, oh, if you take medicine, it's not. You find the book of Isaiah, Hezekiah the king. Hezekiah was sick and he was going to die. They had been treating him. He didn't get better. So he now turned to God and he, you know, cried and asked God to have mercy and help him. And God did. And God told Isaiah to go back. He said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. Incidentally, just in parentheses, he could have added more than 15. He didn't have to stop at 15. You know, God tests our hearts. You know, and because he's Hezekiah, you know, he was good, but he wasn't as good as he could have been. You know, 15, why 15? He said, God, your word says 90. 80, 90. Why? He was only, how old was he? He died at 50 something. You know, he could have asked God, you know, and God would have told him, you need to deal with your heart. Because when the Babylonians came, it showed up what was in his heart. And you can now understand why he died prematurely. Ah, no, but listen to me. Do you read your Bible properly? You know, people read their Bible on the surface. That's the reason. You know, anyway, he got, and then Isaiah told them how he was going to get his healing. He said that they should put a lump of figs. In those days, they didn't have medical science like today. Today, it's equivalent to taking medicine. And he was healed. Now, if it was the lumps of figs alone, he would not have been healed. Because they had been using the lump of figs before Isaiah came, and he still said he was going to die. He was sick unto death. So they were trying. So the medical science alone will not get it done. But the medical science and the power of God will get it done. So many times, you have to, that's why praying spirit is so important. God will lead you to the right doctor. To the right place. Where they'll do the correct diagnosis. And give you the right medication. And your healing will be speedy. Very speedy. And you recover. I know I've told this story before, but I'm going to repeat it. Kenneth Hagin's wife, she's dead too now, you know, but she actually, ironically, she outlived Kenneth Hagin. She was going to die. You know, she had a goiter in her throat. In one of the visions, and, you know, they knew that she had to go for an operation. But, you know, they were, you know, in those days, this knowledge didn't exist of faith like I'm preaching it now. You know, in those days, it was in the early days, a lot of Christians like old Wigglesworth believe you shouldn't go to the doctor. Just like John G. Lake, don't go to the doctor, just believe God. And they died. John G. Lake died of stroke in a wheelchair. Can you believe the same man who talked about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who touched the bubonic plague, but later on, he was breaking so many laws. He broke the law of hygiene. He broke the law of rest. He broke the law. Because he wasn't looking after his body. He died. John G. Lake died at 65. True. And John G. Lake got over 100,000 people healed. Cancer, the lame, the blind. Yet he died, just like Elisha. You can't break these laws. You have to understand. This is why it's called the whole counsel of God. The Greek word for it is epignosis. Complete knowledge. You see, having half knowledge is very dangerous. Yes, there's a place for faith. There's a place for trusting God. But that does not exclude medical science and the laws of hygiene, the laws of diet, the laws of rest, the laws of exercise. I'm 63 years old. I exercise every day. You know why? I want to live long. I understand that just confessing it in the Bible alone will not get me to live long if I don't obey those laws. So in addition to, with long life, God satisfies me, I now add corresponding action. I pray in tongues, and that tongues now gives me wisdom and understanding of how to apply the corresponding action. I'm very careful about my diet. I eat. I'm not under bondage. I can eat anything. But I don't eat everything. You know, if something is, you know, some kinds of foods and even meats, I avoid. You know, generally I eat white meat, you know, fish, chicken, you know. Occasionally I eat red meat just to enjoy it. Or if I go out socially and they serve me. But it's not my basic pattern. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's from the Bible. You know what the Bible says? God said they should not eat blood. So you know what the Jews do? Even the Muslims too do this. That's why they call it halal. Meat, you know. They take the meat and then they hang it upside down. They let all the blood drain out. So that the meat you actually get, there's very little blood in it. You know why? It is the blood that carries the disease. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. So even if there's something, I told one of our doctors here, Shenwa Kikpelu, you know, he's in England now, but I think he's even back today. You know, I said, you guys go and do research on that thing. You will find that there is a link between the blood and healing. The DNA, you know, and at the molecular cellular level. Thank God for the knowledge of science. You know, there's something there. If you tweak the blood and you tweak the DNA, the body will get healed. I believe that. And I'm sure somebody's going to get a Nobel Prize for that sometime. Soon. Amen. Truly. You know, so I'm trying to tell you that you need to have, that's why you need to do a lot of praying in the spirit. Then you will get wisdom. This kind of wisdom I'm giving you, you know. So I'm careful what I eat, you know. I'm careful. I take fruits. I take veggies every day. You know, I take a little eba too, you know, for my carbohydrate. I think it's a balance. I take you know, vegetables, you know. So I'm getting proper nutrition for my body. Then I exercise. I don't run 24 meters. So no. My exercise don't take more than 10, 15 minutes. I walk on the spot, you know. I, you know, make sure that all my joints are in good shape. You know, my head, my leg, my hands. It doesn't take long, you know. I tone my muscles. That's all. And I stay healthy. So, you know, now you break those laws, then you say, God didn't heal me. Well, God healed you. Because by his stripes, Jesus, you were healed. The problem with you is that you did not have the correct corresponding actions through wisdom. Because you did not use the work of faith with power in that direction. You need the work of faith with power. So when you pray in tongues, that's why I read all that to you. You know, wisdom comes that gives you, you now be led by the Spirit to take the correct corresponding actions and all things will work together for your good. The Bible says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. But God will not lead you until you get into the way. God can just lead you in abstract. I being in the way of the word, the way of praying in tongues. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to do it the way Jesus did, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers and supplication. That's the way. So I being in the way, then the Lord will lead me. And they give me correct corresponding actions. Is this clear? So that this is really, you know, now what we need to understand in the operation of faith is this. There is a usually, especially when we are not operating with the Spirit without measure, you know, or by the gifts of the Spirit, we're just operating ordinary faith in our growth process. There is a significant time between when you believe you receive and when you have. Mark 11:24. Believe you receive them, and then you will have it. You don't have it. I have is the manifestation. So many times it takes, there's some time gap. For instance, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, it did not wither instantly. It withered in 24 hours. It was about 24 hours. When they were coming back next month, they saw that the fig tree was, you know, withered from the roots. In the book of Esther, she was believing God. It took 3 days of fasting and prayer. Then she went before the king, and then the answer came. You know, Daniel, it took 21 days. It depends on the situation and the circumstance. That's why you cannot and you should not. It is a lack of wisdom to hear one person's testimony and try and duplicate it. You don't know what their own parameters are. Are you listening to me? There's an illustration I have used. I'm going to mention it now in passing, you know, but it's very, very important. You know, over the years, you know, I as you know, my background is physics and all of that. You know, there are these kind of equations in mathematics. We call them the differential equations. There are other ones which are called partial differential equations. But to cut a long story short, the solution
of those equations are determined by what they call the boundary and initial conditions. I'll explain. When you, I'm trying to use a simple way. There's a quadratic equation where the thing is, you know, to power 2, x to power 2. Then you have the, when you solve, you get two solutions. So x can be 1 or x can be 2. If you go to power 3, you get 3 solutions. If you go to power 4, you get 4 equations, and so on and so forth. So if you go to partial differential equations, when you solve the equation, you get what we call a general solution. That general solution has an infinite, even in maths, it's God who taught them. They didn't know. It has an infinite number of solutions. The best way to explain is to use the number 10. I've used this before. If you want to get 10, you can get 3 plus 1 plus 9 is 10. 2 plus 8 is also 10. 7 plus 3 is also 10. 6 plus 4 is 10. 4.9 and 5.1 is 10. If you take it to 3 decimal places like that, if you take it to 10 decimal places like that, if you take it to 100 decimal places, you can have an infinite number of ways of combining two real numbers to get the number 10. In the same way, when you solve these equations, you have an infinite number of ways in which you can calculate what they call a particular solution. And that will depend on the initial and the boundary conditions. Olubi Johnson's initial and boundary conditions are thus. May 2, 1959 is my initial condition when I got born into the earth. And my boundary condition was UCH. That's not yours. Yours is different. Now, you hear Olubi Johnson's testimony, and then you want to come and use my own coefficients to work your life out. You're making a big mistake. You have to work out your own salvation. All Olubi Johnson can tell you is how he prayed and all that. Then you now go and pray, then you will get your own coefficients that will now work your own life out. People don't want to do that because they're lazy spiritually. So they want to hear somebody's testimony, then they'll just go and duplicate the testimony. You know, the man went to his uncle and his uncle gave him 5,000 naira. Me too, I'm going to see my uncle tomorrow. He'll give me 5,000 naira. And the own uncle says, sorry, I don't have any 5,000 for you, silly SU. Why? Because you don't have understanding. The work of faith has to be with power. The corresponding action has to be with power. And it must be a consequence of praying in the spirit, you being in the way, then the Lord will then lead you. Is it clear? Don't go about doing foolish things anymore. It's not faith. It's foolishness. And it gets people killed. And God doesn't want you to die. You will live and you will not die. Well, what's the same man? Is he? Oh, so amen. Tell him. All right. So there's a sufficient amount, there's a significant amount of time between when you believe and... So in that time interval, between when you believe you receive... And when you have, when the manifestation comes, we're talking about the work of faith with power, that's where you do all the praying in the spirit, the walking in the spirit, the corresponding physical actions. That is what will take you from believing to having. It's not automatic. So many Christians start believing, but they do not follow it up with the work of faith with power of praying in the spirit and walking in the spirit. So they don't get instructions of what to do in that particular situation. And then the answer never comes. God sent the answer, just like he did for Daniel. From the very first day you pray, the answer is already dispatched from heaven. But does it get through your heavenlies? That's why you notice anytime I pray in spirit, I talk about the regional heavenlies. That is the heavenlies over your geographical region. There's a heavenlies for Olubi Johnson. There's a heavenlies for Sarah Johnson. Do you understand? And because we're married and two of us are one, our heavenlies usually intersect. But, you know, ordinarily, my heavenlies and your heavenlies may not intersect at all. You got your own.
And you have to get the breakthrough in your heavenlies. Now, because of prayer and covering, I, through prayer and intercession, I can help you. And I can push some of your evil spirits out of the way for you. Are you listening to me? And let you live under an open heaven. But you still must open your mouth. And you still must pray. It's just that, you know, I make it much easier for you. Suddenly you became my friends. You can't bribe me. That's why you need patience. You have need of patience. Patience is consistency in what? Consistency in, listen to this, consistency in confession, consistency in praying in the Spirit, consistency in walking in love. For faith worketh by love. Love is one of the works of faith, and it's done with power. Because to walk in love, you need wisdom of God, you need the compassion of God, and then you need the power of God. So you can see is a system. You see this way of trying to just cherry pick, take this part. I like this one. Mm-hmm. This one I like. This that one I don't like. Bringing I do groaning. I don't like that one. You're gonna get into trouble because it's a system. You need everything in its place. Are you listening to me? You have need of patience. He said, "Be imitators of those who through what faith and what patience do what inherit." Even if you have faith, if you don't add patience of these works of faith, if you do not consistently apply these works of faith with power, believing, confession, praying in the Spirit, corresponding physical actions that are a consequence of praying in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, all things work together for your good, you know, you won't inherit the promise. That's why you need faith. And through faith and patience, they do what? Inherit the promises. I didn't hear an amen. It wasn't as enthusiastic as the other one. You know? It was not as enthusiastic as the other one, you know, that you said. So, you need these things. You have need of patience after, not before, you have done the will of God. You might what? Receive the promise. After. You can't run away from patience, who? If you want to be a successful Christian, let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Now, put the animation on the screen as I close. How then do we work with faith and power? By constantly having the power of God in your heart. That's why it's a work of faith with power. This is an updated, this is the latest version. We've just done this up. We usually play this thing about 15 minutes before every service. I do it deliberately. It's like a poplar. If you just look at it, it will paint a picture in your mind. So when you are praying, you have something you are looking at. Now, if we won't, you know, this just keep it like this. You know, the just generals, this thing, Colossians 2:19, you know, from joints and bands. So you get something from Jesus, and then you also get something from the body. You know, we explained that last time. Here, you have your inner man. Your inner man has an inner core. That's the yellow there. And then it has an outer core. With that outer core, you see a little bit of orange, which represents fire, which represents power. That's why we're baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Life and power. Fire. You know? And it's that power that is distributed throughout the inner man. Up there in the soul, you see those black spots representing the sin nature that's still in the mind, the will, and the emotions. Your soul is the clothing of your, or rather, your soul is clothed by your physical brain, you know. And then, of course, the physical body is showing the black outline, you know, which still has a sin nature inside it. Now, roll the movie. Now, here's a situation where the life of God is flowing in to the inner being. Hold the movie for a minute. Good. You see, here it's much clearer here. You can see that's the inner core. That's what the Bible means when it says out of his belly. Some translation says out of his innermost being. Not the inner, the innermost. You know? And this Zoe is represented by the yellow, you know, which is just the pure life of God before it is converted to power. Roll the movie. You see, now stop the movie for a minute. As the life of God comes into the inner core, you can see it beating. It's pulsating. What is actually happening is just like in the physical body. Pastor Brigger, honey, there's no difference. That's why he said that be strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner. You know, just like your heart can become weak and it can't pump blood properly, your spirit can become weak and it can't pump life properly. That's why you need to pray that prayer that be strengthened with might by your spirit. Where? In the pump. I said pump. Roll the movie. So you can see, you know, it's pulsating. And then when it pumps, you can see, you know, the red, you know, it's being converted to power. Then it's now being distributed, you know, just like your heart distributes blood all over your body, you know, and it, you know. Now stop the movie. Now, if you sin, God forbid, if you sin, the sin nature that is inside the mind and the will and the emotions comes down here to block. Reverse the movie just a minute. Reverse it just a little bit to where it's half. Reverse it. Now, roll it, and then just when the sin is half. Stop. Good. Now, here, the man has sinned, but there are different kinds of sin. The Bible talks about the greater sin. This sin is bad, but, you know, it's blocked the flow of the life of God to half. That's why the bottom here is gray, the up here is yellow. So, the life is flowing, but it's not flowing as much as it used to because of the block. That's why you need to be quick to repent, quick to forgive. Otherwise, you're going to hinder the flow of the life of God into the innermost being. Roll the movie. So it begins to, you know, the sin begins to accumulate. He doesn't get rid of it, you know. Then it comes to a time where it's totally blocked. No life is flowing. Then life is going out, but nothing is coming in. So gradually, the amount of the life of God inside the inner man is reduced. It's still there. It's born again. That hard name that lives and stop. Don't go ahead of me. You know, that's the name that thou livest, but thou art dead. This is the situation of many, many Christians. They got life, but the amount of life is small. It's there. That's why they can't pray much in tongues. Have you noticed something? I heard somebody say this. It's a great saint. I think it was John Wesley. He's one of the great saints. He said, you know, prayer will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from prayer. Have you heard it? Well, you're hearing it now. Everybody say it after me. Say, prayer will keep you from sin. And sin will keep you from prayer. Do you notice that when you're sinned and you haven't confessed it, you don't want to go and pray? Sin will keep you from prayer. And if you are really praying properly, you'll find that you want to stay away from sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. So, anyway, the guy repents and then he confesses his sin. If we confess our sins, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive us and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what the blood does. Roll the movie. So, it now removes. That's why it's remission. Stop the movie. Notice there is no more black there. That's why I say he cleanses from everybody screaming all unrighteousness. Not some of it. So, anytime you sin and you confess it, you know, with the right heart, the blood removes everything and restores the flow of the life of God back to its maximum and optimal level. Are you listening to me? Roll the movie. We're almost done. So as the life of God comes, you know, it begins to pump. It converted it to power. You know, so you got the red and the yellow mixed together, you know, which is, you know, type of fire. You see this in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 2. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, up fire, down, you know, up amber, down fire, you know, and all of that. And then it distributes just like your physical blood. Halt the movie for a minute. You know, just like your physical heart pumps blood, your spiritual heart pumps Zoe and converts it to power and distributes it through your entire inner man. Then you can do the work of faith with power, because there's power there all the time. But if the thing goes down or you sin, unforgiveness, we looked at this last week. I would say unforgiveness, stubbornness, rebellion, pride, the hinder. And then the thing is not pumping, you know, it's not even receiving sufficient life. And even the little life that he's getting, is not pumping it properly. Then he finds it difficult to believe. He finds it difficult to confess. He finds it difficult to pray in tongues. He finds it difficult to have corresponding physical actions, because the power level is low. So keep your power level optimal. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the deer panteth for the water. Very quickly.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you.
Oh, sing it. Hallelujah.
You alone
art my heart's desire. I've come to worship you.
You alone.
Brother, even though you are my King,
Lord, I love you.
I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone, hallelujah. Sing it.
I love you
more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver. You're the
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Just before I pray, I didn't finish. The Holy Spirit just reminded me. You know, Kenneth Hagin's wife just appeared to Kenneth Hagin in the vision and said, let her go and do the operation. It was Jesus who told him, let her go and do the operation, and I will speed up the recovery process. She will live and she will not die. And then he said something to him that melted Kenneth Hagin's heart. He said, son, it is divine destiny. Your wife should have died young. He said, but I came to answer your prayer because you prayed. And he changed the destiny of his wife. And in the end, his wife outlived him. But it was through medical science. But it wasn't medical science alone. It was the power of God in addition to medical science. Don't ever forget it, so you don't die prematurely. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Father, firstly, I confess my sins, where I have been presumptuous, where I have not done the works of faith with power. I've done it by my own self. I've done it in the flesh. Have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, your life, your power, in sufficient measure, as we pray. Father, give me fresh revelation. I thank you for what Pastor has preached, but Lord, I need a personal revelation. Everything he has said, Lord, come and shine it into my mind so that I will be able to practice it myself, that I, by your mercy and grace, will work out my own salvation, that through faith and patience, I will inherit my promises as revealed in your word, in Jesus' name. Ne kasha la priketo frede, la priketo frede, la mbriketo fresh, rambraga tolomo shalikeko. Father, thank you za la priketo lomo tolomo shto fredesk. Lord Jesus, a priketo lomo to fredes. Lord Holy Spirit, da kama tolomo to fredes. Thank you for your blood, la priketoshke fre. Your life, shagar dofre. Your power, nikiko kofredela langara. Insufficient measure, riketolo mangara. Into our wills, la predifrines. Into our minds, la prekadofredesk. Into our emotions, la priketofredes. Into our bodies, la priketolo mtufresh. Into our circumstances, riketofredengras. Into our regional heavenlies, rina. Toske frene, lambre deca, lambre catolo matuska, rima prede, lambre dofres, lambre, insufficient measure, rananana, neka, rica tolo mosha, yica tofre, lambra, le in this regard, ripre braga tolo bere, now, shaki, fridi costo frede, in Jesus' name. Folks, praying in tongues is indispensable. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Yes, you have faith, but you have to build up on it by praying in the Spirit. If you need healing for your body, just stretch forth your hands. Send it towards your device. If you are home, if you're here, just stretch it. The power of God is already in the air. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Father, I release healing power into the physical bodies of all those who are stretching forth their hands in faith, both here physically and those at our home. I say, be thou made whole. I come against the spirit of infirmity. I cast you out. Spirit of fear, spirit of doubt, spirit of oppression and depression. I deliver you in Jesus' name. Be thou set free in Jesus' name. Which side? Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto us the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. in Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to number and say, you inherit the promises by faith and patience of the works of faith with power. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you know you have no bones broken when you do that.